Welcome to A Gram of Hope. I'm your host, Jerome Graham. And we were talking in a previous episode to the directors of Universal Health Aid. That's Serena Choksi. And you guys got to get easier names. And Oliver Keel, Serena's student, rising senior at Notre Dame. And Oliver Keel is a rising senior at Maumee Valley. Yes. All right. Now, we were talking about the program and what all is involved in it. And while we were off mic, you guys shared something that kind of shines a light on the program. This is not part of any school system. It's something that you as students volunteer to do?
Yes.
So how do you find out about it?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we both found out about this opportunity specifically through the same college counselor, who is just an external resource that a lot of students in the area use. I know that Serena had done this previously, but the counselor sort of contacted her and said, like, you should revive this. And then she contacted me and she was like, you know, I have this great person who's super good at communicating. She needs a co-director to get this started. And we were off to the races after that.
So this is not part of a med tech program.
No, we voluntarily decided to do this. Any student from any school is welcome to join this on their own. They don't have to be doing it through a program at their school or anything. And it's a nonprofit organization. We like to have students from all over that have different talents. And as a team, we can work together with everyone's strengths to put on this screening.
It's not just Lucas County, Wood, Fulton. If I can get to where you guys are, I can be part of this program.
Yeah.
Now, how do you have meetings? Because everybody's from all over.
Well, meetings, the committees meet in person. They try to meet once a week. It's understandable if someone can't make a meeting, like if they live too far away or can't have a ride for some reason. But the important all committee meetings happen on Zoom. So anyone can attend no matter where they are. I know we had a few people from Europe and the Middle East, they were vacationing there and they were zooming in from there. And so it's a really accessible way, I think, to manage our communication.
Oh, so if I go out of town to, I don't know, Egypt, and I know that there's a meeting coming up, do my director send me a text and say, you know, we got a meeting this Saturday? I'm in Egypt. Well, just zoom in.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. And that is actually what has been happening. So, Zoom, I think, is amazing because we can really just have anyone join from anywhere. And I think it's just the easiest. People don't have to worry about rides or anything. It's just you log on. We do a little slideshow. We send the slideshow at the end. And then everybody has the information and what they need to do.
Any other of the other classes do they get a chance to get involved? In other words, my brother, my sister was involved with Universal Health Aid. I want to be involved, but I'm a sophomore.
Yeah, we accept anyone from freshman year all the way till senior year. Even people in middle school can join. I joined when I was in middle school, so anyone that's willing to help can definitely join our program.
Are there certain licenses or certain legal restrictions? I mean, do you guys touch medicine or you're just the spirit of the program?
Yeah, we ourselves, we don't touch any sort of treatment, but we do organize it. And as long as you're willing to work, as long as you are willing to volunteer your time for us, we will, provide proper information so that you know what you're doing. And then other than that, it's really just how we're conducting ourselves, being professional at our events. And there's no real, like, prerequisites to join.
Yeah, we let our doctors take care of all of the medical type things.
For sure.
Well, now, are you guys familiar with CPR? Does that come in handy?
I think that maybe a few of our students have CPR training, but it's not, like, something we necessarily look for.
Is this a nonprofit organization?
Yes.
Okay, so you get volunteer hours in class or in school for participating, don't you? Or am I wrong in that? I know some schools, they actually award extra credit if you do community outreach, if you do volunteer. Mm-hmm. Does this count?
So me personally, I'm not doing this just to, you know, say, oh, I did this for community outreach service hours, because I'm not even sure if I could do that. I'm just doing this kind of on my own. But I'm sure you could definitely get service hours, because this is a nonprofit organization and we are working really hard with lots of different community partners and sponsors and such. So, yeah, I think for sure you could get some service hours from this.
How many universal health aid organizations are there?
There are six in total across across mostly the Midwest. I know that we have one in Columbus, we have one in Chicago, we have a few in Michigan. So it's a pretty big network.
Yeah, it has a broad footprint. It's health. So I know that there's not supposed to be a competitive nature, but do you guys find that, okay, here we are in Toledo, and we want to outshine Columbus. Do you have those kind of conversations?
I think it's 100% collaborative. I don't think we're necessarily looking to compete, just to serve as many people as possible and help as much as we can in our own community.
Yeah, and I know, like, a lot of the different chapters, they like to focus on different things. Like, the Toledo chapter specifically, like, we know we do our screenings, but I know in Columbus and Cleveland, I think they work more towards doing more speaker events and just like different community things that aren't necessarily just screenings. So every chapter kind of has their own
personality.
Niche. Yeah, right.
I like that.
Yeah.
So you can stand out. Do you guys ever, and you said it's a collaboration, Mr. Keel, do you guys ever get a Zoom call online with Michigan or with the other cities all at one time, or is it just restricted to your particular area and the information that is germane to where you are, to your vicinity?
We definitely have this year. We've remained within our own organization. I think in past years there has been a little bit of communication between the committees. I know that some people from, for instance, Monroe came to the screening in 2021, but I don't think communication is very frequent between the different branches.
Okay, so.
And, yeah, to my knowledge, a lot of the people in the other chapters across the Midwest are usually college students that are kind of doing this in their summers, but we are high school students that are just doing this over our summers. So.
Well,
yeah.
Now, wait, make sure I got an understanding here. The Toledo branch is comprised mostly of, or is it?
Entirely of high school students, yeah.
Wow.
Our team is all, yeah, 9 through 12th graders.
But some of the other branches have college students.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Thank you.
Do you guys get recruited? I mean, if I'm in Ohio State and I've seen what Toledo is doing, and I may have sat in on a meeting and said, wow, we need to have them here at Ohio State. So do those conversations take place?
I wish. I mean, no. I mean, it's pretty entirely self-motivated, I would say, for the people doing this. I don't think colleges would take notice of the things we're doing if we don't tell them about it. I mean, we can put this on our applications and tell them, like, hey, you know, we did this. But to my knowledge, I don't think any colleges are looking and being like, wow.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But how many people can be in an organization? How large of an organization can you accommodate?
So our team in Toledo, we have two co-directors and an assistant director. And then our core team is comprised of, I think, around 30 students. So, yeah, our team is around 30 people. We have our directors and we have our committee chairs. We have four different committees. And then we have core team members that are each in the committees.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, that's a large organization. I'm surprised, again, that I had not heard of something with that much involvement. That's a lot of people to coordinate. How do you guys stay so humble? You've got 30. Matter of fact, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you name the other high schools that are involved?
Yeah, we have Notre Dame and Maumee Valley, which we both go to. We also have students from Ottawa Hills High School, St. Francis de Sales, Central Catholic High School, Southview High School, and I hope I'm not missing any. I think that's it.
I think we also have Northview, Anthony Wayne.
Yes.
And I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit. That's quite a bit. Do you ever have any slackers? Somebody said, you know, I got involved with this thing, but hey, I'll be at the next meeting. Y'all just go ahead without me.
I mean, it's definitely, we are busy students. High schoolers have a lot going on in their lives. Even me personally, like it's hard for me to stay on top of with everything, but I think we do have a good group of dedicated people. And obviously everybody always has something that they're dealing with. So if somebody can't make a meeting, we don't really hold that against them because we understand that we are busy people. We have lots going on, but I think we have a supportive team around us and we're really grateful that everybody kind of works together with their own different strengths and we can put this on together.
So if I'm an adult and I want to do something universal health aid. I mean, you guys kind of young, so I don't know what we have in common. But universal health aid sounds like something that's really exciting. I want to do something with it. Are adults guided in another direction? You say, no, old folks have to sit over here in the corner and do this thing. Or can they work with you guys?
Adults generally are the ones volunteering at our screenings, so they're providing the services that we might not be able to cover with our with just our team. So they can do things like check in or sort of organizing the patients at the screening when they can go where. So they have been in the past a big part of how we can actually put on these screenings through volunteering.
Now, when I go to your social media, and you have Instagram?
Instagram and Facebook, yes.
Facebook. Am I going to see what you guys have been doing over the last 9 years? Or because Serena and Oliver got involved, I'm only going to see what you guys have done?
No, on our social media, we have everything from what we've been doing in the past, especially 2021, 2024. Those are pretty heavy on our Instagram. But our Facebook has a lot of information on our organization as a whole, what we've been doing in the past, what we offer this year. So, yeah, you can find lots of information. Even if you want to volunteer, you can contact us there, too. But, yeah.
So what are you guys going to do after you graduate?
So I'm planning on studying something in the sciences on the pre-med track. My goal is to become a doctor, and I think that UHA is a good foundation for me. I'm learning so much from this organization, just how to deal with people, different doctors, their roles, and it's definitely something that has secured my passion for what I want to do.
As for me, I think I'm going to go to the West Coast and major in something biochemical, try to be more on the lab side of the medical field, and especially just being in that new environment. I think that's the biggest skill that I've gotten from UHA, is just the ability to connect with people and sort of work with people in a way that is really beneficial for everybody.
Well, does something like this help with your credentialing? I mean, you can put this on your resume and it has a benefit, or because you were sitting in a class one day and a counselor walked by and said, here, take a look at this, and you just volunteered. That kind of takes away from the relevance of the program because if it wasn't part of the regular curriculum?
No, yeah. I mean, this is something that was entirely self-willed. Like, I know I would not have signed up for this because I knew it was going to be a really big project, and I definitely would not have said yes if I didn't know how much work it was going to be. But I think the biggest thing is just the passion I have for it. That's what really is keeping me going. I just really want our health screening and everybody involved to be really impacted by this, and so I think that's what really kind of keeps me going and sparked my drive for putting this on.
Yeah, I don't think this is necessarily something that anybody would do just for college credentials.
No, because you can't. I mean, it's a huge taking on, but yeah.
Well, we're going to close this thing out. Any final thoughts that you guys may have? And just my curiosity, you said, Serena, you've been involved since you were in middle school. Mr. Keel, I don't know when you got involved, but you're excited about this. If it had not been for your experiences with UHA, would you have done something else? And what would you have done?
I think UHA has definitely guided my decision to sort of want to work in the medical field in future years. It's definitely strengthened my resolve to do that. If I didn't do UHA, I would probably have a little more inclination to just do research in some locked away lab in the middle of a desert and not really want to be on the side of like benefiting people as much as I possibly can. But UHA has definitely shown me the value of like the individual and the how good it feels to really impact someone's life.
And Ms., did you already answer my question? Because if you did, you were real smooth at it. What would you have done had it not been for UHA?
I don't know. I think that UHA is just a really unique organization in itself. And I think that's why I wanted to do it, because of how unique it was. And because I'm a director, I have a lot of flexibility as to what exactly I see as something that could benefit people. But if I didn't do UHA, I think I would definitely still want to do something with the passion I have to help other people. Not entirely sure what that would be, but I just think being a director for something like this, I just have a lot of flexibility to kind of shape how I would want to serve other people in this way.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Serena Choksi of Notre Dame and Oliver Keel of Maumee Valley, it's been a pleasure speaking to you guys. And really, I enjoyed what you shared about UHA. Great program. And I hope that more people will reach out, go to your Facebook page, and really find out more about what young people are doing and be motivated and inspired by it. I want to thank you guys for coming on to today's show. And of course, I'm your host and producer, C. Jerome Graham. Our executive producer is Mr. Chris Pfeiffer. If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/hope or wherever you stream your podcast.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.